Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
It's time to get the morning sports news on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And from the Kia Studios, John Hugh and the crew on this Wednesday morning, 3 days until Mercedes-Benz Stadium opens its doors for the game for the first time, 3 days until college football kicks off for the season, and 3 days away from probably the most anticipated fight in, Hugh, when was the last time we had a fight that had this much hype? It's been, has it been since like Tyson Holyfield or something? Or am I missing something here? Well, I guess, Mayweather Pacquiao, I get that. But, I'm just talking about off the chain hype.
It's funny because, I was downstairs and I was talking to, walking around a bit and talking to people, getting off of work and everything. So it was some people arguing. I might as well tell you it was DJ Peanut and Gerard J. And they were talking about the fight. And everybody's trying to get their point across about who could potentially win the fight. And DJ Peanut, I think he boxes, he goes to the gym, and he works out. So he's trying to explain to Gerard J why Conor McGregor has a chance. Gerard J is not trying to hear it. And it's like, this is one of these things that divide. It's like a divider because everybody's grounded in their belief of one thing or another. And that's the funny thing about it. And then they invited me into it. And I was like, well, everybody, like Conor McGregor has a chance. He definitely has a chance. And I think going into this fight, you have to respect him as a fighter. You have to. Because if you go in there and you underestimate him, that's when bad things tend to happen. And we saw, Riddick Bowe? Buster Douglas beat Mike Tyson.
Right.
And everybody thought that it would never happen.
Correct.
Then Buster Douglas turns around and get beat up the next fight. So anything is possible. And I think that the important thing to learn to know in this is that you should never underestimate your opponent. And Conor McGregor's in there. He has a chance. When he walks into that ring, he has a chance. And I think you should respect him for that. Now, do I think he's going to win? I don't, but I would not be surprised if something crazy happened that night.
Well, let's hope that Floyd hasn't been using the same training regimen that Mike Tyson used before the Buster Douglas fight of drugs, alcohol, and Asian women.
And tigers and whatever else he...
There was rumors that his training camp was basically just one big party for that fight. He didn't take Buster Douglas serious at all. But Hugh's right. Anything can happen. And Conor McGregor steps in there with the Celtic cross in his corner. He's got a fighter's puncher's chance. Does anyone does in a step in the ring?
Exactly. We can break it down, But it's an interesting clash of styles, of cultures, of everything else that's hyping this fight off the chain between these two on Saturday night. And everybody making plans like I am to kind of, I already Saturday. I said, look. To my wife, to Tammy, I said, look, you want me to, do anything around the house here, that's for like Friday, okay?
Yeah, I'm
because Saturday's out.
I'm a little nervous. It looks like me and Little Hugh, we're probably going to be somewhere. We're probably just order it and probably do it that way. Because that'll probably be the best bet.
That could be like your birthday celebration.
Yeah, because it's like, man, to look at some of these prices that people are going to be charging to get into their spot, that's ridiculous. But I don't know. I'm pretty sure something's going to come up, and it's going to be one of those things where it's going to be last minute. I like living by the seat of my pants, flying by the seat of my pants, so it'll probably be a last-minute decision.
It's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. It's not. But when you're talking about all that other stuff, it's ridiculous. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
All right, a lot of headlines from last night. If you missed it late last night, SunTrust Park. Lucas Sims had a brilliant outing. And the Braves took advantage of a wild play that involved five or six Seattle throws to force a run. They kind of really set the tone for the game, and here it is.
Up the middle, Segura smothers and throws behind the runner. Now Albies in a rundown between third and the plate. Ball dropped. Now Ozzie's going to come home. The throw to the plate. Late. It all worked out. Now you've got two runners stuck in the middle of the diamond, and Ender's going to wait and see where they run down. Total chaos on the base paths, and finally Seattle tags out Lane Adams. That was so bad it was good. Keystone Cops base running turns into a third Atlanta run in the sixth inning.
Yeah, it was a wild play for Chip Carey at Fox Sports South. Let's take the Rays to a 3-0 lead, and then Freddie Freeman had a couple of hits last night, including a knock that drove in the fourth run.
Line into right center field. That'll get down for a hit. Phillips can waltz home. A ringing RBI single by Freddie Freeman. And the Braves extend the lead to 4-0.
And they would win 4-0. Now, not in those highlights from Fox Sports was the real story of the game. The real story of the game, the kid from Brookwood High, Lucas Sims, was brilliant and masterful last night.
Oh, there's no question about that. Gave six strong innings and, you know, looked really good. I was talking to Grant McCauley about that. And, you know, I said, Grant, with six innings, it's really not that big a deal. He said, no, it's a huge deal. It's the way that he started and the way that, you know, he was in command. So, yeah, that's a big deal for him. Another strange play last night was the Brandon Phillips play when he did the swim move. And it looked like some old football stuff. And then when you look, he's sliding just to have the wherewithal to lift his arm up and get away from that tag. That was pretty amazing. Last night was a special night for the Braves.
Yeah, so and all the local guys. This is one of the great things about this team right now, even though I know that we know where they are in the standings. But how cool is it for people in Atlanta, Hugh, to have, you know, Brandon Phillips, Redan High, Dansby Swanson had a hit last night, Marietta High. You know, Nick Markakis hit a home run last night, his eighth of the year, Woodstock High, and Lucas Sims from Brookwood High. You have all these Atlanta guys contributing on the Atlanta Braves. And for Lucas Sims, his first win in front of his home fans, and that's got to be a really special moment for him and a great outing. As you said, six innings and three hits allowed, no runs for Lucas Sims as the Braves win over the Seattle Mariners 4-0. And we'll play the Mariners again tonight. R.A. Dickey will be on the mound. He is 8-8 on the season, Braves and Mariners tonight at SunTrust Park. Of course, also tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Atlanta United. Yeah, I know. Did you almost, like, forget that they were still playing? It's been so long.
It's been a minute.
Yeah. 17 days, 2.5 weeks after their last game, Atlanta United back on the pitch tonight in D.C. against D.C. United. Now, D.C. United is in last place, and yet D.C. United has beaten Atlanta United twice this season. Bobby Boswell, the new, and it'll be his debut tonight for Atlanta United, the new veteran on the backside, was talking to us about a couple of days back, about, well, it was actually last week, talking to us about DC United, where he comes from, and his first game, oddly, is to go back to play against his old team in DC, and says that DC United just matches up well against Atlanta United, and that's the only thing he could think, because DC United can't beat much of anybody else, but they can beat us.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing about sports sometimes, John, is that the Braves and the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Phillies can't beat anybody but the Braves. It's just one of those things where they just have your number, and that looks like that's kind of the same case here with Atlanta United.
Well, we'll be looking for the return possibly of Joseph Martinez again off another injury. That would be a kickstart certainly to the offense to have Joseph back. Greg Garza could possibly return as well from injury. The Atlanta United, D.C. United game can be heard live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 7:30 tonight with a kick from RFK Stadium in D.C. Some of the headlines include, of course, the Braves, Atlanta United, the Falcons are getting ready. We'll talk more about the Falcons in a moment here as we get into the next segment in about 15 minutes about Dan Quinn. But one comment yesterday from the coach, just talking about looking ahead to 3 days from now.
Where is the sun? Could that be coming through at a time prior to kickoff? You know, certainly for day games, because one has it, and where it could come through for the quarterbacks. You know, shot clock. Where is that at? And fortunately, it's at almost eye level across the field, where you don't have to go and look real high for some of your down and distance stuff. So, for the returners, you know, that's an important one. Seeing it up and seeing the ball go through the stadium and what possible, you know, spots could cause us trouble. So catching punts, catching kickoffs, throwing. But past that, I've been inside the stadium recently. And so for us, like, I can't wait to see the guys.
You know, that's kind of an interesting thing that I didn't think you'd necessarily have to do the calculus on, but you do. I mean, they have that gigantic window that overlooks downtown. Oh, the sun's going to pour in that gigantic window, and you've got to you know, figure out what are the angles, what are the times. I guess you have to take that into account. You know, it hadn't occurred to me until Dan Quinn started talking about it yesterday. I go, yeah, I guess you got to, don't you? You know, kind of.
Of course, John. Everybody, it's a new digs. Nobody's played it yet. Nobody's played a football game there yet. So you know, the lighting, everything is you got to factor that in. That's an open, airy looking place. I can't imagine what it's like to be on the field playing in that thing. And then you put all the fans that are going to be in there. That's a different feel. That's why I cannot wait to enter the Atlanta Falcons 5K to just run out there on the field and see my
face. Oh, do you finish in the stadium?
Yeah.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. You finish in the stadium, you get to look up at the Halo board and see your face. And I'm going to have my smartphone. We're going to be taking pictures and stuff. That's going to be a cool thing to do.
When is that?
I think it's at the end of the month.
I need to sign up for
At the end of next month.
I want to do that.
Yes. It's going to be awesome. Going to be awesome. So I cannot wait to do that, because to be out there on the field, I've seen pictures of people that have had the chance to go out there on the field, but it's something different when the lines are painted on it and it's football season and you run out there and you see that and the people. Yeah, it's a different feel, man. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome.
About 13 minutes from now, we'll hear more from Dan Quinn. He'll update the status of Julio Jones, Devontae Freeman, Demonte Kazee ahead of this game against Arizona. We'll have that sound for you in about 13 minutes. All right, as we talk about more of the headlines, a big story out of the MMA, out of UFC last night, John Jones has been suspended. He hasn't been stripped of his title from his fight against Daniel Cormier, but he tested positive again for a banned substance. Now TMZ is saying it has sources that the banned substance was, in fact, anabolic steroids, but Jones' camp is calling negatory on that. They are not happy. But John Jones faces a possible long-term ban. He was, banned for a year for testing positive once. He could face a four-year ban. And if he has a four-year ban, Hugh, that could be the end of John Jones's career.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, too. And I saw him, he tweeted out something last night talking about this. And a lot of people are hoping that it's not true. They're hoping that it's not true. And it's just one of those things where it's like, man, you're talking about a guy who was on the road to redemption and everybody was excited about it. And if this is true, it's just going to devastate them.
I think as an MMA fan, I hope it's not true, because when he is fighting, he is an active and not suspended or not coked up or not doing hit and runs. He's one of the top three pound-for-pound fighters in the world. And he has a chance to be the greatest fighter of all time. I think right now Anderson Silva holds that, but I think John Jones has a chance to do that. So it frustrates you, because as a fan of the MMA and UFC, you want to see the best fight. You know, it just feels like it's tainted. When Daniel Cormier has held the belt for the last few years, you absolutely know he's not the best fighter at 205. But he's the champion, but every time he fights John Jones, he loses, and then there's something that comes about it where Jones failed a drug test. It's frustrating, and it really hurts the UFC. And it's good for them for doing such strong and tough testing now. And it's one of the reasons that George St. Pierre doesn't fight like he did, and that's why he's coming back now, is because they do have these drug tests. But he was a guy that openly said, it's not fair for me to fight clean when other guys are cheating.
Of course, we'll continue to follow that as a huge development in UFC. But the big story yesterday, and we want to spend a few minutes on it, of course, is the trade. The shocking trade. If you're just waking up and you don't know about the trade, Kyrie Irving traded by the Cleveland Cavaliers and traded to, of all places, the Boston Celtics. A trade of Kyrie Irving to Boston in exchange for Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Ante Zizic, and an unprotected lottery pick from the Brooklyn Nets, which could be potentially, who knows, top three, maybe even the number one pick in the NBA draft, all leading to rampant speculation about the future of LeBron James. Would Dwayne Wade go to Cleveland now to help fill that spot? Will the Cavs flip the first-round unprotected pick and try and get Melo? I mean, everything is now in play. And what we thought was going to be a quiet offseason for the NBA from this point forward just went nutty, 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 Hugh Douglas. I mean, nutty. Who won the trade, in your opinion?
I think it's a push. I know a lot of people are saying that Isaiah's the better player. A lot of people that I've talked to would beg to differ. You know, they both came out in the same year. I think Kyrie was the first overall pick that year, because Cleveland, I think he was the first overall pick.
He was.
And I think Isaiah was the last pick.
The last pick of the second round.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, and so it was one of those things where Isaiah has developed into a good player, where Kyrie is developed into a star. And I think that for Kyrie, his star, he felt was overshadowed by LeBron James. So now he gets to go to a team where he is the man. He goes to Boston. He's instantly the man. And Isaiah goes to a team where he falls into lockstep with what LeBron wants to do. And I think that was the problem, is that Kyrie was upset because no matter what he did, it was always LeBron's show. Because there were times in the finals, this last finals, where Kyrie came up big, and he was never the one that talked about, was the guy that kind of, was the catalyst for them winning.
That echoes of what they went through in L.A. with Kobe and Shaq. Kobe, it was always, because it was Shaq's team, not Kobe's team, and Kobe didn't like that. And so, but unlike L.A., where Kobe got a chance to have the team to himself and then win his own titles, Kyrie's been shipped off to Boston. And so now he's with, remember, Boston now has Gordon Hayward, and they have Al Horford, and so, a lot of Boston fans thinking that they're going to be actually the favorites now in the East, though it should be noted that it's interesting that the odds in Vegas of winning the East didn't change, not one whit.
The winner of the East is just the second-place team in the NBA, so good for them.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.